Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Talk Soap of 2015. Happy New Year, everyone out there listening. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Today is January 6th and I come to you live at 6 p.m. Eastern. I got used to saying Eastern, so I got scolded a minute ago by our fellow Kelly here, who said, Eastern, not Pacific.
So. Feels good to say that.
If people try to tune in at 6 p.m. Pacific, like, I don't know what you all are going to be doing, but I'm not going to be on the radio at 9 o'clock. So. I don't
know. Anyway, so let's, we got Kelly and Michael here today. Claudia's off. I hope she is okay and doing her thing, and she will be back as soon as she can. But let's see, Kelly, how was your New Year's Eve and day?
Well, sorry, I had to finish my face. I said that I was going to go, like, actually do something, but I got wrapped up in the Walking Dead marathon. I didn't leave my house for 3 days last week. Like, I watched every episode of The Walking Dead, because the more Daryl Dixon I see, the happier my life is. So, but it was good. I looked at the clock at, like, 11:57, and I was like, ooh, I should probably, like, pay some attention. And then the next time I looked at the clock, it was 12:02. I was like, well, there it is. I missed it. Happy New Year. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I was here. I mean, I wasn't miserable. I may have been by myself, but I was in good spirit. So.
Now, where was your? What?
I'm saying, Daryl is beautiful, and it's his birthday. This is FYI. If anybody cares, today is Norman Reedus' birthday, and he's the best thing that's happened to my television life in like a long time. So, happy birthday. Norman. Yummy.
And he plays Daryl, right?
Yes, sir.
And absolutely. They were gonna make him gay at one point, I thought.
No, I'm glad they didn't. Ooh, I heard the rumors about that. And like I saw this big article and they were like, is Daryl Dixon gay? And I was just praying the whole way through, like, please God, no. Please, you're ruining this for me. Like, please no. And then at the end, they were like, no, he's straight. He just doesn't, I don't know.
Well, we all need
anybody in the zombie apocalypse.
We all need a gay zombie killer. So come on now. Let Walking Dead have a gay zombie killer.
No. You can have a gay zombie killer. You just cannot have Daryl Dixon. Like,
all right, then. Well,
I'm kind of territorial, so don't try to take my man and don't try to take my deal.
Ready to say that if anybody's new listening, you must be very careful at Kelly Beth, because she is very territorial, whether it be someone from Big Brother, someone from Young and Restless, or someone from Walking Dead. She will rip your fucking eyeballs out if you touch her man, okay? I'm just saying.
I mean, it's a possibility.
It is a possibility. All right. Well, from one to the other.
From one extreme to the other. Absolutely.
Exactly. I couldn't think of the word, but that's why I paused. So anyway, Michael, how was your New Year's Eve and New Year's Day? Thank you. You were about first before you answer that last week for listeners, you know, he said that he was going to a hockey game. And I was just like, why would anybody be going to a hockey game? And I'll be damned if he wasn't filling up my timeline with photos from the hockey game. I was like, God damn.
I can't even tell you who won. I don't know. I just know that we had fun. We had some beer, and people that I was with enjoyed the game. We went and had a nice dinner at a restaurant, and that was really nice. Had some more drinks there, and then we went over to the casino, and I didn't gamble, but I had just as much fun people watching, because there were some winners out there that day. And then they had like a little in the back. They have like a little, I guess, club, you know, and it's so they had music and they had all the balloons at the ceiling and everything. And then, you know, we watched the ball drop on the TV and then, you know, everyone, Happy New Year. And it was like shoulder to shoulder. And so it was kind of fun. It was fun to be out with a lot of people. And then New Year's Day was just pretty low key. I don't even know if I left the house, honestly. I think I did. I think I stayed home for a couple of days, and I was okay with that.
That's okay. You deserve
all in all,
it.
Pretty good.
You work really, really hard. I myself have been doing a major Once Upon a Time binge watching because my partner is a big fan and is all caught up, and I figured I might as well get re-caught up. So I've been binge watched, and I'm almost caught up. I've got like 6 more episodes, and I'll be ready. But it don't come back until March 1st. But anyway, that's what I did. We really just pretty much stayed in. You know, it's not that I'm old. It's just I just don't do the whole going out and partying thing. You know, I pretty much stay in. But it was nice, just a simple, you know, readjusting, you know, to, you know, living in Florida now versus California and adjusting to everything here. But it was nice. It's 2015. My birthday's in a couple of weeks. I'll be 21 plus 20. And let's see what happens this year with everything. So let's just get right into it. We want to start with some really, really sad news. I hate to go from the, you know, laughing to some somber news here. Former Young and Restless actor Bo Kaiser, who played Genoa City's Catherine Chancellor's the late Jeannie Cooper's traveling back and forth son Brock since 1974, has passed away. According to Soap Opera Digest, Kaiser died December 30th in Thousand Oaks, California, and is survived by his wife Sharon, who was born in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He was 63 years old. No further comment on what has happened, you know, how his circumstances of death was, but it's just, you know, very young, very, very young for a passing you know, yet another part of the Chancellor family. So our hearts go out to his family and fans. And during our before I get to any comments on that, before our during our break, there was also another major loss to a part of the Young and Restless family. Young and Restless's star Christoph St. John lost his son Julian. I think it was right before Thanksgiving, to a possible suicide. He had quoted and said that he suffered from schizophrenia for many years and tragically lost his life just days before Thanksgiving and 2 weeks before his 25th birthday. His legacy will live on in our hearts and for those who continue to suffer from this insidious disease. My ex-wife, Mia, Julian's sisters, Paris and Lola, and I are all devastated beyond words and belief. We mourn the loss of our son, brother, artist, poet, and a giant of a young man. A beautiful life gone much too young, too soon. Julian will forever be remembered as he now takes flight with the angels. So I just wanted to pay respects as well to him, because Christoph has been on my show 3 times, and I just wanted to give a moment of remembrance to him as well. Such another young soul, so young. Anyway, Kelly, Michael, you know, you probably both are familiar with the character of Brock Reynolds, who played, you know, who was Catherine's son. Any thoughts on this, Kelly?
Well, that's, I mean, it is sad because, I mean, he was, I guess it's been a year or so, but he's, you know, he's been on there, I guess, slightly recently. But, like, are they just going to recast that? Or are they going to be like, oh, something happened to Brock, too, and now he's gone?
I don't know. You know, Brock doesn't come on very much.
Sorry, while we're on the topic of sad things, woke up Sunday morning and just glanced at Twitter. And I know, again, it's not your all's cup of tea, but an anchor on SportsCenter, Stuart Scott, he had cancer, and he lost his battle with cancer on Sunday. And I tell you what, I've only cried watching SportsCenter once in my life, and that was after Kentucky won the national championship in 2012. But like the Monday episodes, they were, you know, like going back and having his colleagues talk about him, and, you know, athletes talk about him, and, you know, showing clips of him, and he just got this big award at the ESPY Awards, which are like, you know, ESPN Awards or whatever, and he gave this speech. And I mean, like, if you can watch it, I reposted it on Facebook. If you all can watch that and not, I mean, even not as a sports fan, you know, if you can watch that and not get, like, moved to tears, you might not have soul. So, I don't know. He's got two, not really young. I think his daughters are, like, 14 and 19, but, I mean, any age is too young in my book Tilly's a father, so I know what they're going through, and you know, it's awful for them, but.
Yeah, actually, yesterday on The View, Rosie did a clip when they had a guest co-host on there who's, I believe, a former, I can't remember offhand what he was, but he was a guest co-host, and he did a they played a clip and of that ESPY Awards that you're talking about, and they only played a short 30-second clip, and I had chills and tears just by listening to him because he's talking about living with cancer and the words that he says in just that short clip. I'll have to go watch the full clip somewhere, but it was quite powerful. And I didn't know the guy, but just to know that, you know, he had such drive and such strength in him, and being 49, you know, just, it's just really a kind of eye opening. Once again, you know, we're continuing to lose people in the media that were, you know, a part of our family, whether it be sports or, you know, daytime drama or acting or theater or whatever, you know, it's just, it's tough, you know. And when it comes to sports, it's even, you know, for the sports fans, you know, I kind of forget about that because I'm not a sports fan. So this one really kind of touched base because, you know, I've lost people in my life due to cancer, and just that they showed that short clip about that you were talking about. So definitely check out, Stuart Scott's ESPY Awards full-length interview. And now I was also going to, you know, since you actually beat me to it, I was going to mention Stuart, but I also wanted to say as well, while we were off, former New York Governor Mario Cuomo passed away on January 1st. He was 82. And also yesterday on The View, and I'm sure, I don't know if you watched this, Michael, but they also did Rosie played another clip of Mario back in 1984 during the Reagan era, with his City on a Hill speech, and there was some really similarities of his speech versus what we're still dealing with today, almost, you know, 31 years later. So it's really kind of strange how government has gone forward, but still not as far as we want to be, I guess. Did you watch The View?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on, well, I don't know if you watched Young and Restless when Brock was on, or if you even know who I'm talking about.
I know his character. I know his name. I'm trying to remember if I can't place his face. I mean, when I really, really watched it, it was back in 1991. So it's been a while, and I would, you know, tune in every now and then. So I don't really, really remember him, but I think the thing, I don't know, one thing that, I mean, it's sad in general, but I know every time someone passes away and a statement is released, you know, we're in such a, we want information and, you know, we're that type of world. And when there's not information given, you know, it leads you to think something is, that there's more to the story that's even sadder. And so we don't deserve to know. It's not our place to know. But when it just kind of said that he passed away and it was 63, it just makes me, you know, it makes me a little sad that there might be something more to it, you know, and that's sad in itself. So.
Yeah. Well, and some diva news, not to segue from the sadness, but we got to move on here. It's now official. Queen Elizabeth II has deigned Joan Collins. It kind of ties in with daytime because, you know, once upon a time, Joan Collins was a part of daytime on Guiding Light, I believe. And maybe something else. I can't remember. I think she was on an ABC show as well, but I just didn't know. So now we got Dame Judi Dench. Now we have Dame Joan Collins. So that's kind of cool that the dynasty legacy is carrying on, literally dynasty. Haha.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it. All right. A couple of TV things real quick. Nashville and Revenge have started off with not so great ratings this season. And their returns this winter after the winter finales, and they're maybe heading to cancellation. I read about the numbers, and I mean, less than 4 million people watched Revenge on Sunday night. And those are really bad numbers for such an expensive broadcast network show. But it hit an all-time low. And for anybody that watches Revenge, I think they need to wrap it up and wrap it up out on a good end, because you can't carry on this storyline much longer. Just sort of like when I'm watching Once Upon a Time, I don't know if either of you watched that, but I was watching when I'm watching Once Upon a Time, I'm like, okay, we're in our fourth year. How many more characters from Disney Vault can you pull from to keep this going. Because as I'm watching it, and these are for fans out there that watch it, there's a lot of back and forth. You know, Regina and Emma are close, and then the Evil Witch and Emma are not so close, and then they're working together and they're not working together. And this season, for those of Disney's Frozen fanatics, has been all about Frozen, which is Elsa and Anna. And then as we get back in March, I'm excited because Cruella de Vil, Ursula, and Maleficent join. So I'm really excited. So this is kind of exciting year to be watching Once Upon a Time. So anyway, that's just a little something for those who watch Revenge and Nashville. I think Nashville has a stronger audience because it's a little bit newer and it's a little bit more relevant. It's on a different timetable than Revenge, but I think Revenge, it's time to wrap it up this year, especially with what's happened on Sunday's episode. All right, that's enough of that. And then there's been this thing on Twitter, and anybody who's watching General Hospital knows there's this whole thing about, you know, save Kyle Sloan, save Sergeant Sloan, or whatever it is. I'm not really sure. But anyway, I don't know what
it is.
Save a man's job. That's all they want. Save his job.
I know, but Rob Derringer, who has been playing Agent Kyle Sloan, has been officially let go and recast with As the World Turned and Hollywood Highlights alum Grayson McCouch. Now, while those out there who love Rob Derringer, who I'm very new to, I've never seen him before, I don't know his work, but I'm excited because I was As the World Turns kid, and I love Grayson McCouch, and he was on Nick at Night's Hollywood Heights a couple years ago, and then we all know him as Kelly, who did he play on? I just went blank.
I have no idea.
Oh my god, you watch As the World Turns, you know Paul Ryan, you know?
Yes, I know. I remember Paul, and I remember Carly, and I remember Carly's husband. What was his name? Michael? No,
that was the brother of. Oh my gosh, hold on a minute. I'm going to go crazy. Somebody tell. He's playing somebody very.
Hold on. I'll Google him.
Okay. I think it's like I want to say Duffy, but that's not it. It's Duffy? I don't know.
Wasn't there Dusty? But he wasn't. Did he play Dusty? Cuz Dusty was super hot. I love
him. Yeah. Yes, he played Dusty. I'm more than sure that he played what's Dusty. Sorry. Mouth?
Are you serious?
Yeah,
what is this guy's first name?
Grayson McCouch. So it's Grayson, GraySonMccou. Grayson McCouch. So,
not
yes,
Grayson,
I'm
McCouch, but Grayson in general. Okay. Yes, that's who it is. Holy bejesus. That he was Dusty. And
yep.
Dusty was way beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yep. So he's going to be replacing Agent Sloan. And I really kind of thought that character, you know, of Agent Sloan was, you know, just another newbie and stuff. But apparently he's got ties, especially if they're recasting him with, you know, some alumni from Daytime as well. So I guess we're going to have to see what's going to happen with this storyline that is
starting to.
Oh,
that makes me super happy.
See,
I'm telling you. I'm going to spend this whole show looking at Google images of Grayson McCouch because he is seven kinds of beautiful.
He is. Yes, he is 50 shades of beautiful because he's got that salt and pepper hair too. I hope they don't dye it. I hope he keeps the salt and pepper.
Yes, he
okay.
does.
Well, while she's changing her panties, we're going to switch gears.
I just found a picture of him. I'm sorry. Wearing a Yankees hat. I'm in love with this man. Is he married? Keep talking. I'm going to do some research.
Okay. Will you you take care of your moist yeast
research
muffin.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to continue on. Since we're already talking about General Hospital, let's just go right into General Hospital. I just finished yesterday's episode because Hulu hasn't updated today's yet, so I haven't been able to watch today's, but let's just see. And also, this is going to be probably a shorter show than normal because General Hospital was off 2 days last week. So like we were the week before with Young and Restless being off 2 weeks and General Hospital and Bold and Beautiful as well. Sorry, Little Sister Soap that I don't care about anymore. But We were down two episodes. So when I went to go catch up, I was like, well, where's Wednesdays and Thursdays? So they said that it was a rerun one day and it wasn't on the other day. So I was like, oh, so I only had to watch Friday and Monday. So so not a lot watched. I mean, really, actually a lot. We've only got two episodes to cover unless you guys watch today's episodes, because we already talked about Tuesday of last week, last Tuesday and before. So we only have really Friday and Mondays to talk about in today. So, while I was watching yesterday's, just right before our show, is Pentonville co-ed? Apparently it is, because Ava arrives there in her orange jumpsuit as Sonny is in his like cream sun jumpsuit. And they have this little moment there. I thought that was kind of cute, because they got the, Morgan had visited Sonny right before then and told him that, he's the baby daddy. And then Ava named the baby Avery. And I was like, oh God, I'm trying to get away from Avery on Young and Restless, and now I have a baby Avery. But anyway, I think that's cute because it's part of Ava's name in it. And it's a sweet little thing. So it was kind of emotional because, she was being, taken away to go to prison, and she got to hold her baby, and it was quite sweet there. So, if anybody's talking about hotties, could anybody help me get me a Nathan with an apron and underwear on, please? Stat.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, that hunk of burning love. Good grief. Ever since he's been on the show, I have a side eye on him. I'm just like, oh, he is just fine. And we talked about this last week with him and Maxie, ending up at each other's airports and at the wrong time. And then they finally get together and they kiss on New Year's Eve, which was so sweet, which happened, on the Friday episode.
It is a little more than kiss on New Year's Eve.
Well, yeah.
Just saying, they did it a lot.
Yeah.
Breakfast and everything.
Yeah, they sure did. It was quite nice to a lot of people actually were having a lot of sex on yesterday's episode. I mean, it starts off with Maxie and Nathan, and then you had Alexis and Ned. Is it Ned?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Alexis and Ned, and then you had Olivia and Julian, but I walked away for a minute. So who was Olivia seeing in the bed with them?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Olivia, in her little dream, she dreamed that she was with Ned, and then
Alexis
came up behind. Yeah, Alexis came up behind her, and then Julian was dreaming that he was in bed with Alexis, and then Ned was like behind her. So it was all creepy. But can I just say, for an older, you're talking about fine, salt and pepper haired men, anytime he wants to take his shirt off, that's fine too. Because Julian's one fine man.
Yes.
Good grief.
Yes.
Holy crap.
You should check out his Facebook page. He posts videos of himself exercising. He's lifting up like these 5,000 pound tires and jumping off swing sets and everything, like all just wearing shorts. And like, very nice.
Yes.
Is it like a Facebook page? Because he posts like videos of himself exercising. And I'm telling you, it's enough to make any woman or gay man say. Follow Shamar Moore on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. I do enjoy some nice eye candy there. Well, we didn't see, since we last talked, we did not see Franco. We did not see Nina. And what else happened? Oh, now what really surprised me was Carly just grabbed Jake, a.k.a. Jason, and just put her tongue all the way down his esophagus. And I'm just like, I just was kind of surprised by that. I wasn't expecting, of all the people that's involved in this little Jason storyline, I just was kind of like taken aback by that. So, I mean, I guess he's got a job now at the, Carly gave him a job at the hotel as a bartender, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and
I think
with the New Year's kiss, I don't think, like, there's some people on Twitter who love the idea of, Jake and Carly together, and I'm not one of them, because when we find out he's Jason and Carly are best friends. They don't cross that line. That's their past. So I'm not down with them getting paired up, but I felt that Carly was acting more like a friend. Like, she knew that he was in love with Elizabeth and all that, and so she saw Elizabeth with Rick, and I think she just wanted to kind of help him make her jealous. So I think she was being a good friend when she did that.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, he's definitely fallen head over heels for Elizabeth. And but Sam's not giving up. She was given the evil eye, so she's going to be pouncing that. So really, I mean, General Hospital we don't have a lot to talk about. I don't think. What else happened, Michael?
Yesterday's episode had the conversation with Luke and Bobby about Bill Eckert and how and Luke got like raging, upset, mad, and everything. And I don't know. I remember like as soon as we knew that this wasn't Luke, like whenever the storyline started, there was some talk on Twitter. And even though I didn't watch it at that time, I knew that Tony Geary had played this other character, Bill Eckert, during the lapse when Luke and Laura were not on the show. So immediately I go to that, they go to that thinking, oh, well, maybe it's Bill, you know. But the way they've kind of been making this story work, you know, like where, oh, we think it stays on, but then it's not. And there's all these twists and turns. It all seems too easy and convenient. And it doesn't even matter that Bill Eckert died in the arms of his cousin Luke. You know, like, you know, you can die on screen. It doesn't mean anything. You can find a way to come back. But the way that he was kind of getting mad about, you know, he loved his son and he never abused his son. And it was like, why are you defending him? Like, we haven't mentioned him in 20 years. Like, it's making the fans think, is there something to this? Are you an Eckert? How is this going on? But it just at the same time seems so simple. Like, I don't think they would have us invest in this for a year and then, oh, it's someone from the past. That seems too simple. So I don't really know what it means, but I just love that bringing Bobby on was how they kind of got that information out. And then Ned comes up to the table and Ned was married to Bill Eckert's sister, Jenny. So, you know, he's like, yeah, I was married to Jenny. And yeah, you do just look just like Bill. That's crazy. How come everyone who looks like Luke wants into my family's company? And so it was nice for the longtime fans to get a bit of history. And I think it was nice for newer fans, hopefully, to kind of see like, oh, there's layers to this. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I was hoping for more of that today and we really didn't get it. They teased you a little bit, but no, they didn't give us any more information. So I guess we'll see.
Huh. All right. Well, yes, we will have to see. I'm, you know, being a newbie myself, you know, this is interesting. I mean, I just want to know, you know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting to find out who this person is. So, you know, I don't know, you know, anybody watching or listening to our show who's longtime General Hospital fans, tweet me at TalkSoap and let me know who you think this is. Or it could be somebody brand new. But, you know, now that also questions the whole reveal last week we talked about where this fake Luke fluke told Julian that they're old acquaintances. Now, isn't Julian a brand new character?
No, Julian was on an 80. He had a different face. You know, he went through a infection program, had plastic surgery, all this. He was a mobster in the 80s, and he somehow, I forget why, this is just the research, he was responsible for Duke and Anna losing their unborn child. So that's kind of what their axe to grind is. And he was a big mobster in the 80s. And I want to say that I think Sonny took over Frank Smith's territory, and maybe Frank got it from the Jerome. I don't know. Somehow the Jeromes were major players in the 80s, and so it's kind of it's current, but it beckons back to that history too.
Yeah, I guess it's just because, you know, William DeVry, who plays Julian, is new to the show, so yeah, I didn't know because I'm not a longtime viewer. I'm only 3 years old. So
can I say one thing about Ava and Sonny's baby?
Oh, go ahead.
And based on our prior shows, I don't think it will surprise anybody. But do you know what I hope happens to that baby? I hope, and I know it's a character. Let's start with that. It's a character. It's fiction. This is not real. I don't advocate violence. But I love the baby drama. But what it brings you is too many babies. We don't need all these babies. We just need the drama they bring. So I'm hoping. I hope that something happens to the baby. I hope the baby dies. And I hope that somehow it's with this mob war, like, you know, like someone sending Sonny a sign now that they know he's the dad or whatever, like, you won't give up your territory, like, we're going after your kid. Because there's no stories like the ones that come out of heartbreak and grief. So I don't know. And I don't need another kid being raised by Sonny. He's had too many. So I'm just going to put that out to the universe. Maybe it'll happen. And that's what I'm saying about it.
Yeah, and that's true. Sonny does have too many kids, but then again, you know, Victor Newman does, and you know, so it does happen.
He's got like 30.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's Victor's kid.
But the only thing I don't know the show's longevity. I haven't been with it for a long time. But okay, we have Ava, major crime boss apparently.
Yes,
Sonny, major crime boss. We got Franco, which is just a psycho person. So we have like a big chunk of the lead people in jail. How are they going to get out?
I'm sorry. Can I say today we find out? I don't. Is it a spoiler if I say it? If you haven't watched it, I'll hold it. So next week.
No, that's fine. I'll watch it anyway.
Okay. So we find out today that Johnny Zakhar is getting out of jail. They say that you know, he confessed to killing his father, and that's why he's in prison. And for those of us watching, like, he did kill his father, like, that's real, but somehow they make it look like he just was forced into a confession, so he's getting out of jail. So maybe they'll work out stuff like that for Sunday, because I know he can't stay in jail forever, even though he should. But what made me mad today, what made me mad was, you know, they just talk about so nonchalantly, like, oh, Johnny's in jail because he killed his father. That's it. He's in jail because he killed his father, and he killed Star, and he killed Star's boyfriend, Cole, and he killed their daughter, Hope, you know. But because of the whole ABC Park, Prospect Park, you know, lawsuit, they're not allowed to mention those characters anymore. So it's so funny that he goes to jail for 20 years for killing four people, and now they can't even comment on three of them. They just say, oh, yeah, he killed his dad. So I don't know. So it was just interesting, because I thought for a while, like, how are they even going to bring Johnny back in? Because part of the reason his exit story had to do with characters they're no longer allowed to speak of. So they just pretended as if it never happened. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's good. That's why I like you. You keep it real. But yeah, the whole baby thing, you know, I mean, we did just lose a baby on the show a couple years ago when Star and Cole were in a car, and, you know, as you were saying, the tires were shot out, and their baby was killed. So, and that caused drama forever. It felt like it just, that storyline just, like, went on forever. So, you know, I don't know, maybe Nina will get out and kidnap the baby. I mean, or son again. I mean, who knows? I
brought up this theory. I brought up this hope at work, you know, like, and my coworker Sarah said to me, she's like, how many babies can Star lose? Star can't lose babies. And I said, well, first of all, she's not Star, and it's not her baby. And she said, we all know she's Star. She was Kiki for a month when they had to transition, and now she's back to Star with brown hair, and she's pretty much the mama at the moment. So she's like, Star can't take it. Don't kill Star's baby. So we agree to disagree.
So pretty much just Star. Now you got me saying Star. So we got Kiki and Michael, who might as well just raise the baby, and Ava just rots it down. Not Michael. Yeah. Morgan.
No, Kiki and Morgan.
Morgan.
Yeah. See, Sunny has too many kids. I can't keep track of them.
How many?
Well, I know, even though Michael's not really his, he's AJ's, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, Kelly, wake up. Stop Googling.
Yes. Right. No, I put the phone away. So, I'm terribly excited that he's going to be on this show. No, this is what happened while you all were talking about that. I started, like, I Googled as the world turns and started looking at, like, so I found the last episode on YouTube, and I'm totally going to watch it later because, like, I can't remember who Dusty was with when he was on the show. I can't remember, like, what was happening. I know that he was with Meg. That's who it was. He was with Meg Snyder. And Jack Snyder was Carly's husband on As the World Turns.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry. I discovered all that. But yes, I'm going to go back and find the last episode and watch it, because I mean, like, I loved that show. My mom and I would talk about stuff like this, like, at night. We would just sit down and be like, did you see, we still do it, did you see what Caroline did today? She's an idiot.
I don't know. I read that, I saw in Daytime Confidential a thing about today's heartbreaking emotional episode or whatever with Caroline. So what happened? And then we'll go to Young and Restless.
Well, now Caroline's not so much an idiot. I'm not saying she's an idiot. I'm on Team Caroline because Rick is being a complete ass hat. I mean, he's being terrible. But, like, he convinced Eric to sign these papers. Eric had Carter look them over. I mean, and Carter told him, look, if you sign these papers, you're basically making him a dictator. Like, nobody can tell him what to do. Nobody can get him out. Nobody can do anything except basically listen to what he says. That echo is killing me. Can you turn that down? Sorry. But anyway, so he got Eric to sign the papers, and so now he's exposed, like, you know, he's given this big long speech about, you know, I'm gonna run this company with a partner who's loyal and faithful, and, you know, will do what's best for me, and blah blah blah. And Caroline's like, I'm so excited to be, you know, standing beside you to help you do it. And then he's like, oh, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Maya. And I was like, what the heck? And so, I mean, he basically just drops the bomb, like, that he and Maya had stayed together throughout his little, you know, his little charade of, mm-hmm. you know, quote unquote, being back with Caroline. So, I mean, today Caroline was like yelling and crying, and I would have paid any amount of money for her to just like slap him, just slap yeah. him. Because the stuff he's saying, you know, this is what absolutely gets me. I mean, like, and then like it gets me pissed off, and then I have to remember, you know, this is television. It's not real. The way they've written it, and Rick is just consistently and constantly like, you kissed Ridge. But the day he found out that she kissed Ridge, he went off and had sex with Maya. But he's acting like he did nothing wrong, and what she did was so terrible and so bad. And I'm like, you know what? You are the worst. And he just says it over and over and over. And today he was talking like, you know, you think that you're over him. You think that you're done. Because, I mean, like, they have been. They haven't had, Caroline and Ridge really haven't had any interactions in the past few episodes. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, they're, whatever they, you know, quote unquote had is over. But he, you know, Rick's like, you know, no woman is ever, you know, is ever done with Ridge Forrester. And I think he keeps saying things like this, you know, to her and keeps like trying to make what she did seem so terrible, you know, to make himself feel better about what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like today, like Ivy's not happy about it. But like Maya went back to the house before Rick even gets home, and is like having all their stuff moved in and moving Caroline's stuff out, and you know, trying to make nice with Ivy. But Ivy's like, you know, like, I don't want to live in the same house with you. Right. So that's kind of where it ended today, is, you know, like Maya's having, you know, all their stuff moved in. So they're moving into Eric's house, which to me is like, I can't believe he's leaving. I can't believe like Eric is actually leaving town. Like he's going on this vacation or whatever with his brother. And I just can't believe that he's actually going to go. And I cannot believe it, because it's just like, seriously, what are you, you're going to leave, you know, while this little homewrecker is, you know, moving stuff into your house. And, you know, you're just going to, hey, I'm just going to go to Europe or whatever. Like, seriously, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, and I last watched it, which I actually gave it up. I gave it up this last February. So it'll almost be a year. You know, when Maya first came on, I thought she would just be like a two-bit, you know, storyline, you know, just like a in and out type thing. I to hear all of this, all this time later, I remember when I used to do the talk soap, I think it was season two, you know, before you guys joined the other cast that was on, we would talk about Maya's hair. It was so like she was put her finger in a light socket. It was like always big and like,
yeah.
like way too big. But I just didn't really think she was going to stick around. And to hear you tell me this week after week that she's just become this character, I'm just like, ugh, that's one of the reasons why I left.
Well, see,
but
yeah, I mean, like looking back on it, when she was first with Rick, like when she met him and she didn't, you know, like Rick didn't tell her who he was, and they kind of, you know, she fell for him thinking that he was as poor as she was, you know, that whole thing, you know, like, I don't know. I didn't have a problem with her then when they were first together, because she wasn't with him out of like greed, or she wasn't with him for his money. And, you know, she wasn't being devious, and she wasn't being basically like a huge bitch, you know, about being with him. But now, like, that's exactly what she's doing. Like, she said something today about, like, you know, I can afford, you know, as of today, I can afford she was talking about integrity or something. Like, she, like, woman, you can't buy integrity. Give me a break. But anyway, I mean, but that's basically all she's with him for is money.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, like, she'll say till she's blue in the face, oh, I love Rick, I love Rick, I love Rick. Well, you know, like, you know what you love about Rick? Same thing I love about Rick, his bank account. But anyway, I mean, like, she's, in the beginning, I liked her. I didn't have a problem with her. I thought, you know, I thought she was, like, because she was genuine then, you know, she wasn't a gold digger, but that's exactly how they're portraying her now. And
yeah,
it was awful. But
yeah. All right. Well, that's that on that.
I saw on Twitter that a handful of people that I follow who watch Bold and Beautiful have recently started using the hashtag Maya's Ho Palace. And so I don't know anything about this girl or this character, but it's, I don't know. So feel free to use that. But it kind of intrigues me. Maya's Ho Palace.
What is it?
They're trying to, Maya's Ho Palace. Yeah, H-O Palace. They're trying to make it trendy.
Well,
I don't know if that's it.
I'll happily use that because I think I said this last week. Like, Rick moved her into Steffi's old apartment, which is like, you know, this big penthouse or whatever, which is basically, you know, I'm sure that's what they're talking about. But I mean, now she's talking about, oh, you know, like, just like Wheezy, I'm moving on up. I'm just like, good gosh. Like,
I love that reference.
You're tarnishing, you know, you're tarnishing that show. So leave them out of it. Leave George and Wheezy out of it. I like them. Leave them alone. I don't know. She's killing me.
that is funny.
But I mean, I just want something like Steffi's coming back soon, and Brooke will be back in a couple of weeks. So like, I want something to happen. Like, isn't there a way like shareholders can get him out? Or I wonder if like I just wonder if this contract is so binding that, like, not even shareholders in the company, because from what I've seen, like, from people talking on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, like, you know, Rick doesn't even, like, yeah, he's CEO, but he doesn't even own any shares to Forrester, or he doesn't own enough to be a player in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, Bill owns some, Steffi owns some, you know, like, I want them to come together and just get his ass out, because he's acting like, I mean, like, he's acting like a freaking dictator. And, you know, instead of, and they're all talking, oh, this is a family-run business. Well, you know, he's the freaking Adolf Hitler of this family, because he's just being a loony, tinny, crazy person.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? You can always leave it to Kelly to tell you how she feels. okay.
Yes, Jacob Young, I just called you Hitler.
Oh, it's because he unfollowed us.
Yeah,
he unfollowed
exactly.
All of us. He unfollowed us.
What a douchebag.
Oh, sorry. I still love him. He had to clean out. We just have to make ourselves lovable again. That's all.
Well, I doubt I just made myself lovable by calling him a douchebag. And I mean, like, I need to do a better job of separating, like, the character from the actor. Because, like, I saw an interview with Kara Mosley that plays Maya, and you know, she's like this. She says, you know, like, the character, the way she's acting is like completely opposite of how she would act as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, she says that there's nights that she reads the scripts and she like has to call her sister and cry because of the way she has to act. And I'm like, you know what? That makes me want to like you as a person, but I still hate her. Like, I hate her. Anyway, sorry. We could talk about the Young and the Restless now.
Well, thank you for that permission. Thank you, Ms. Co-host.
That's my
bad. Do you have all your Bold and Beautiful out of your system now?
Yes, because that's all that's been on is this whole Rick, Maya, Caroline crap.
Yeah. Okay. So
we haven't seen anybody else lately.
That's okay. Exactly. That's what, you know, there needs to be balance. And all these shows, they know there needs to be balance. So, and we don't get that. So let's talk about Adam, a.k.a. Gabriel. We've had one twist after another with this storyline. You know, now we see that, you know, unfortunately, Sally Kellerman, who played Constance, character died. And in her death, she left a will. And in the will, it was revealed that Sage and Gabriel, a.k.a. Adam, get half the estate, but it's because they're married. And Adam finds out that he's been married to Sage ever since he woke up from this restoration of his face and after this whole year that he's been under, recuperating. So he's married to this woman, played by Kelly Sullivan. And so now we have a whole new dynamic level of the storyline, because now, as we find out in today's episode, they have to remain married 3 years in order to get this huge inheritance that Constance left them. So in the meantime, he and she are threatening each other. Like, Adam's old ways is like, you know what? You don't have any friends. You don't have any family. If you went disappearing, who'd come look for you, Sage? And then on the other side, you got Sage going, you don't, in other words, like, you fuck with me, I'll make sure everybody, I'll go to the police and let everybody know that you're Adam Newman. So, you know, now we've got these people who are supposed to be this loving couple. And then we go back and we learn that Sage and Gabriel only been together for 4 months, and Sage married Gabriel for the money. And then they were traveling down the road, and when they saw the explosion that Adam was in, and then that's when Gabriel went down to save Adam, and Adam is the one who lived and Gabriel died. So there's just a lot going on with the storyline, but it's fantastic. It's exciting. It's like, finally gives me something exciting to look for every day. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about with you, Kelly. What do you think about all these, like, the, you know, this last week, so much has happened within this storyline.
I freaking love it. Because I think I told you before, you know, before we went on the air, like, I'm in love with, I think I've said about, I'm in love with like four different people just today. So, sorry about that. I may change my religion so I can be a polygamist and marry like four different men. Anyway, but I'm in love with Justin Hartley and the way he's playing this character, and I love, love, love it. Because, I mean, like, he is so, you know, obviously, like, polar opposite of what Gabriel was. And, like, the flashbacks that they showed yesterday, like, the scene where they, you know, he and Sage talked about, where Sage offered basically like, I'll marry you so you can get your money. Which, you know,
I'm back. Go ahead. Keep talking. Internet dropped me off, motherfuckers. Anyways, I don't even know where you last heard me, but go ahead. Just keep talking.
Oh, okay. But like there was the flashback on yesterday's episode
mm-hmm.
where they, you mm-hmm. know, they were talking about getting married or whatever. And I mean, like, his demeanor there, like, I wish he could be that way, but like that, you know, that vindictive edge that he has, you know, mm-hmm. is part of what makes him, you know, makes him Adam. So, but I love it. Like, I love it. And I love that Sage thinks that, you know, she has some kind of hold on him. And I think she's starting to realize maybe now that she doesn't, like, she
yeah,
doesn't
she
have the hold on
know.
Him that she thinks she has.
She doesn't know who she's dealing with.
Absolutely not. But my favorite thing, like, I'm all about, I'm all about some Joshua Morrow. He's 18 kinds of beautiful. So, like, today, when he's arguing with Sharon, as usual, because Sharon's, I was watching the show and she was, it was kind of funny, Michael, because I was watching the show and Doug was just sitting there and I was talking to the television. And I'm pretty sure that I called Sharon, I called Sharon a crazy, a crazy bitch, basically, because I was like, no wonder, you know, he wants to take your job from you because you're a loony. But she's like, they're arguing. as per usual. And he sees Sage, and he's just like, you know what, I'll talk to you later. And he goes in there and talks. And then Shannon's like, I'm going to use this in the custody hearing. Like, you don't have time to talk to me, but you can talk to some stranger. I'm like, dude, seriously. Like, why don't you just go home and make up a bunch of stuff about what you think Nick's doing? Like, just make up a bunch of stuff. You know, like, oh, he ignored my phone call this day. And, you know, like, I'm sure that he was, you know, talking to somebody else instead of wanting to talk to me about the kids. Like, shut up. Huh.
Yeah. I know. She's gonna use whatever she can. She's going to use whatever she can to try to win this case. So it's just becoming, you know, a cartoon of itself now. It's just never ending. But yeah, I will say, you know, even Josh's hair has grown out quite long, but he's still a fine, tall drink of water. Oof.
I mean, yeah.
Now I'm going to try to see what else has anything else, really exciting going on, because, you know, I'm bored. I don't like talking about, and I'm not racist by all means, but I do not like the African-American storyline that's going on right now. Neil is always involved with a boring storyline, and he's always getting the shaft, no pun intended, with women. And it's just ridiculous. I'm just so tired of it. Now we have this Gwen
today,
girl.
Have you watched today's episode?
I saw Gwen take off her clothes when Devon walked in, and I was like, holy shit, where'd this girl come from? Is she a hooker? I was just like shocked about that.
Yeah, well, like toward the end of the episode, like, I guess they were, you know, he went to her room or whatever, and she was, you know, in her undies, and, you know, he just kind of tried to blow her off and tried to be like, you know, no, I just can't do this. I can't do, you know, because he's so dedicated to Hillary. Well, then he goes and, you know, like, he runs into Neil in the hallway, they write him like being blind is making him stupid as well. Because, they say, you know, like, he hears Gwen say to her, to Devon, you know, like, you're so hung up on this married woman, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, but then he acts like, you know, oh, there's nothing really to talk, you know, like, come on. Like, being blind doesn't make you stupid. It doesn't make you an idiot. But, like, when they're sitting at, they go downstairs and they're sitting at a table and, you know, like, Neil tells Devon that Hillary's thrown away her birth control and she's, which she actually didn't. But whatever, and that pisses Devon off because he's like, oh, you know, she told you that, you know, she wants to have a baby. And then, you know, so now Devon's pissed, and then he takes Gwen up to his private suite, and Hillary sees it, and she is like, she's super mad. But you know what? It's not fair. It's not fair. The way I see it, it's not fair of Hillary to expect Devon not to play up this relationship. If she's going to make Neil and, you know, what's her face, Lily, believe that he's actually with Gwen, then, you know, it's not fair of Hillary to expect him not to play that up to an extent when she is always, you know, she always has to be that way with Neil, you know, like,
yeah.
So Devon constantly has to see her, you know, kissing Neil and hugging Neil and, you know, canoodling and whatever you want to call it. But for her to get so mad about him doing it with Gwen, I love it. I love it because she's getting a taste of her own medicine. And so maybe they'll just all end up being, you know, like, Neil will get his vision back and I don't know, and he'll be able, who cares? You're right. Who cares? You know,
exactly.
If Devon ends up with Gwen, that's fine because I think she's, you know, I think she's great. I think she's a cute girl, and if that's what makes him happy, then so be it. Whatever.
Exactly. Well, that's, let me see. Let me think real quick about something else. I did read, Tristan Rogers did say that there's going to be some great dynamics coming up this year. And I hope so, because him and Jess Walton, who plays Jill, have been underused. But as you've seen in the promo for tomorrow, Jill is going after Victor. And I'm so excited. There's finally going to be some wars with Jill and Victor. I'm excited because, you know, Victor's always the winner. Victor's always the winner. And now Jill, who's been, you know, on a mystery magic box, music box, whatever the hell that thing was, for a year, wasting our time with the writing, though she did a great job on it. But I'm just saying, she just was wasted a year of her character on this stupid music box. She's now got a new actual storyline that's going to be utilizing more of her and him together. So I'm excited to see that play out. So other than that, is there anything else before we wrap up?
I'm kind of intrigued by what Abby is up to. Detective Harding or whatever kissed her on New Year's Eve. And, you know, at first she's like, oh, my God, get off me. But then, you know, she's like, holy cow, you know, like, whatever. And so she took, you know, a sample of their love potion that they've developed. And like, she took some with her and then she left. So it hasn't really told, like, what she's doing with it, per se, or whatever. But I mean, like, you can kind of see it on her face that she's kind of like, she's going to maybe go test it out on him and maybe see it. And I kind of like that because I'm sick of her, like, being, like, super bitch to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I love her. I love the actress that plays her. Like, I love that character, but she just gets annoying to the point of, like, holy crap. Like, stop breathing, you know? It's just ridiculous sometimes. But I kind of like where it's going now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm ready for everybody to find out that Victor owns that that property.
Yeah. That's such a stupid storyline, too. But anyway, I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense. I mean, why is he going after the coffee house? Dylan, you're messing with Nikki's son. I mean, Lord.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, like, it's like he has a double standard, too. Like, he expects Nikki to be nice to Abby. You know, Abby's his kid. Nikki's not her mother. She expects, you know, but he expects her to be nice. But, you know, and, like, he's not really providing the same courtesy to Nikki's son. And maybe it's just because it's Paul's kid, too. And, you know, he thinks that might, you know, mess with their relationship or whatever. But, like, I'm sick of, like, Nikki and Paul and, like, you know, let's pretend like they're going to get back together. They're not. They're not. Nikki is with Victor and Paul is with Christine and blah, blah, blah. Like, stop it.
Well, we're going to wrap this up, and we'll be back next week. We're doing good this week. We're keeping it at an hour, and we got a lot of stuff covered. Michael, any last words before we go? We have a minute and a half, so you go ahead and say anything you want to say before we go.
Nothing about soaps, but I will say a book that I've been waiting for weeks and weeks and weeks to come out was finally released today. It is called All the Bright Places by Jennifer Niven. She's written about like 6 or 7 other books, and I've enjoyed them, but there's some great reviews. It's already been optioned to turn into a movie, and there's a curriculum guide. It's a young adult fiction book. I've never read one of those before, but it's being pushed to be taught in schools and stuff too, and it just seems to be, I think this is going to make her blow up, and I can't wait. So I'm going to start reading that once the show is over. So I urge everyone to check it out because I know it's going to be good.
I just want to add that Tracy Bregman, who plays Lauren Finmore on Young and the Restless, she is going to be in a brand new film that comes out on March 3rd. It's called Misogynist, and it's she's one of the women in it. And you can pre-order that at Amazon, and you can also follow Misogynist Movie at Misogynist Movie to get updates from it. But it looks really good. It says that the cover of it says, I'm going to teach you the meaning of respect, and it has a woman half naked, not her, but a woman like curled up in a ball, and this is like Mr. 50 Shades of Grey guy above her. So, and I haven't seen the trailer yet. I haven't found it, but I was talking to the director of it and Tracy, you know, maybe we can get them on the show to promote the film. But I was like, I'm excited because I want to see, you know, Tracy do something else. I always like to see talents from the, you know, from the actors that we love on daytime. So definitely check that out. And Kelly, any last words before we go?
No, I don't think so. I think I've spoken my piece, and we're
okay.
Getting off the air. We're getting off the air just in time for me to watch this basketball game and do my other job that I don't get paid for, which is something.
Oh, okay. Throw a little jab at me that I don't pay nobody here. Okay.
Hey, no way.
I can give you some of my food stamps.
It's okay. I mean, like, I write like weekly posts for this website, you know, about Kentucky basketball, and I don't get paid for that either. So I'm not taking any shots at anybody. But I'm just saying, if anybody from the Kentucky Sports Connection, which I'm sure they're not, but if any of you are listening, you know,
I want some money, everybody.
Okay, I want some money. Everybody else gets paid. Why don't I?
Exactly.
With the quarters that
I get paid here at Blog Talk Radio, I will give you some dimes, okay?
Whatever.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. And if anybody out there that's listening wants to join us to dish, especially on days, since none of us watch days, we would love to have you come and join us. And if you just want to call in anytime during the show, we welcome call-ins. We would love that in the new year to have people interact with us while we're live. You know, we are now at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so some people are probably not home. But if you're also listening to this during the archive, definitely tweet us your thoughts as you listen to us at TalkSoap, and I will make sure that I get retweeted it to our co-hosts and listeners. So thank you everybody for listening, and we will be back next week. So you two have a great week. I'll talk to you online, and Happy New Year. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget, the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.